Now I want to hear some of you brethren preach.
I want to touch on one scripture that was read today. It was in John. Let's see, where was it?
John 6.
Okay, it was John 6:47. It says, "Verily, verily," this is Jesus speaking, "verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." And the thought that came to me was when Lazarus died and Jesus came, and Martha, who was Lazarus' sister, was a little bit upset with Jesus for his tardy arrival. And she said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus said, "He shall live again." And she said, "I know he shall live again in the resurrection." And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." And I just want to make sure everybody understands, you know, this resurrection is a thing that we see in the future. And yes, we are going to get a resurrected body. But if we don't have the life of Christ in us, that's not going to happen to us. Jesus is, his spiritual life is the life in us. It's the resurrection. It's what makes us live forever. So we have to have that to take part in that future resurrection. And, you know, most people think of the resurrection as something coming. Oh, yeah, yeah, later on I'll get that, you know, but you got to get the life of Christ in you now if you're going to partake of that. So that's all I had to say.
Mike, you stopped short of that, quoting that verse. Right? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life."
Yes.
This is what you were saying.
Yes, exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mike, you're very short today.
I had one other thought too, but I can't remember it now.
Well, Lord, bring it back to his mind.
It was something that you said right near the end brought a thought to me, but I don't know. I can't think of it.
Well, at the end, we were in Revelation, Mike. We were talking about the souls under the altar. You know, I got to tell you something that's almost amusing. I was in my 30s, early 30s. Apparently, I hadn't done much reading of the Revelation up until that day, but I remember I was reading that about the souls under the altar. And I remember saying it out loud. I don't know who I said it to. I said, "I wonder how I could get under the altar there." I should have figured it out. You're going to have to be a martyr to get there.
Mark.
Yes.
I kind of want to disagree with what you said about the names of blasphemy. I think it's what he was, or what she was setting on, simply because after that, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven horns and, or seven heads and 10 horns, that wasn't the woman that had the horns and the heads. That would have been the beast she was setting on.
Yeah, you may be right, Howard. That beast is full of the names of blasphemy. But the point is, she is too.
Yes, yes, definitely. You know, there's no doubt about that.
I mean,
but
that whole system is blasphemy.
Right. I think they're both full of blasphemy. So, yeah.
So they fit together real well. They have a lot in common. But you see, in the beginning of this great and terrible 3.5 year tribulation, at least in the beginning of that time, she's riding the beast. And when you're riding the beast, you're in control of that beast. A beast isn't going to let somebody sit on him unless they can take control of the beast. You sit on a horse, the man is in control of the horse. Otherwise, the horse throws him off.
Yeah, but I don't know if she's in control or the beast is in control.
No, I believe that she's pulling the strings. I mean, it says that the kings of the earth are in bed with her. I'll use that term. Have committed fornication with her.
They're and what is the beast? And, isn't the beast the devil itself?
And then there comes a time, Howard, where the beast is going to, oh, here it is, in chapter 17, it says, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. So there comes a time when they don't want that harlot system ruling them anymore. They want to go their own way. So they're going to throw the yoke of religion off. And they said that, you know, they're going to burn that system. They want to go with their new world order in a different direction. So in the beginning, she's riding it. And there comes a time, now it says, when the Lord put it in their heart to hate her, for the Lord had put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of the Lord shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Well, she's reigning in some manner, but there comes a time when they say, nah, we don't want this anymore. Well, the point I was making is the blood. She is drunk. You know, drunk on blood. That's gotta be some kind of a power thing. I mean, she's not drunk on alcohol. She's drunk on blood, on the fact that she is in such control over the martyrs.
So the cup has blood.
Well, yeah, the cup has the blood of martyrs in it. It says it's full of abominations. It isn't just martyrs. I don't know what all is in that cup, but it's a terrible, terrible cup. And God is going to have that cup poured out. Where is it that he the cups get poured out? Anybody remember where that verse is? When the cup is full.
Howard, just a second.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. It's here it is. It's in 18:6. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, filled to her double. So she's going to get a double dose of that cup.
It said the cup was full of the abominations of the earth. And I see that as things like what's going on right now, all this transgender and gay stuff and drag queens and all these people in the government that have their minds completely just gone berserk on them, and just all the killing and all that stuff are the abominations of the earth.
Well, it seems that God is really going to bring an accountability. I guess the point I'm trying to make today, an accountability of the blood of the innocent righteous. In spite of her other abominations, he's going to call her to judgment. Mainly because of the blood that she took his prize sons. She took them. And you know what? We get to the end time. We're not quite there yet. The rules are going to change. They're not going to be able to get away with it anymore.
Kevin wants to ask if 3.5 years has started yet.
No. You know why? Because the man of sin has not yet been revealed. It's in Thessalonians. Three things have to happen. Let's go to Thessalonians and we'll find it. Maybe two things. Okay. Be not soon shaken in mind nor troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away. All right, that's already happened and is happening. First, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That we do not know yet who that man of sin is. We've got some very good candidates out there. The Pope is one of the prime candidates. He is a good candidate. Who's that man? Klaus. Jeremy, what's his name?
Klaus Schwab.
Schwab, yeah. I think he's a good candidate. But there's others that will fill that bill just as well. The devil will pick one of them, and he'll enter into that man, and he'll begin to manifest himself in a greater carnal way than ever before. He'll manifest even greater than he did in Hitler or Stalin, Mussolini, Idi Amin, any of the great, I hate to call them great, but renowned evil men. And he will have control of the whole world, not just Germany or Uganda or Russia. He'll have great control. And brethren, that is the time that we need to be under the shadow of the Almighty.
Isn't there another criteria? Doesn't it say in Scripture that the gospel must be preached in all the world, and then the
Well, that's in Matthew 24. Mm. You want me to read that, Larry?
Sure, why not? It's all good.
Yeah. Matthew 24, verse 14. Well, let's do verse 13. Wow, my goodness. Let's go back. Verse 8. These are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. All nations. That includes the U.S., doesn't it? The nation where we are now? Wherever you are, all nations, amen, for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. That's going on right now. And many false prophets shall rise. And by the way, these false prophets are going to write great books, and they're going to be out there, and people are going to be buying them, saying this is the best thing that's coming. False prophets shall rise and shall deceive just a few. Many. Many. Majority. Many means majority, doesn't it? I think it does. And because iniquity, and now the word iniquity means lawlessness. What do you think all those demonstrations are all about? It's lawlessness. People don't want to be bound by the rules. They want to come against the laws and the rules. Iniquity. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, what gospel? This end time gospel. This is what Jesus is preaching right here in chapter 24. It's all end time message. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Well, I think it's kind of been preached out there. It's still being preached, Larry. But yeah, that is one of the criteria, and that I believe is, we can say, is pretty well been fulfilled and being fulfilled. So we have only the one other one is the man of sin being made manifest.
Now I wanted to say something about, you were talking about that. The people being martyred are not only the Christians, but of course the Jews throughout history. And why is that? Is because at the core of it is that these are people that have made a covenant with the true God. The Jews specifically, the old covenant that they made with Jehovah God, Elohim, many names, but it still was a covenant with God. Now we Christians have come to the place of the new covenant in Jeremiah 31. But in essence, that's at the core of the persecution, is that both of us as groups of people are in covenant with the true God. And even though the Jews have not fulfilled that covenant, they broke that covenant, God has not. And God never breaks the covenant. So in his mind, it's still in effect. And he will bring it to pass. But that's why I believe that the persecution is because of covenant people. That have made the covenant with the true God.
The people of the book, Larry. You know what? This is the book they're talking about.
Yes, amen.
I just had one comment.
Connie, you're going to have to turn your volume up a little bit.
Just had one comment about John 6, when the disciples, when Jesus was telling them that there was one that was going to betray them. And it's always amazed me that they all asked, if it was me, is it me, is it me? So that tells me that Jesus's love was no different from Judas, for Judas, than the other 12 disciples, because they did not know who it was that was going to betray him. But Jesus knew all along. And that always amazed me, his wonderful love gone out to all of them. And I just praise God for that wonderful love that he has shed for the entire world. We quote John 3:16 so often, but it does mean the entire world. And even though some will betray him, even though some will turn their back, it doesn't change the love of God. That was it.
Madeline, you might have already said something about this, but how's Rebecca?
She's calmed down, but still she has her outbreaks, and it's usually against me. And I can't figure that out, and I never could. But she still needs prayer, and still praying for her deliverance.
The recordings are on.
I can't hear what he said. I just want to thank everybody for their prayer and encouragement and for standing by us. I appreciate that. And I just love the body of Christ and the showmanship of what the body of Christ really is about. Because when you have people hurting, you have people that are in dire need, the body of Christ is there. And that's what it's all about. Taking us up to that next level of Christ and showing us the true measure of love.
Hallelujah. So, Lord, we do lift up Rebecca before you. God, she needs deliverance, Lord. In truth, we all need deliverance, Lord. So, God, we are calling upon you to deliver all of us of things in our life that we need to shed yet, Lord God, to come into the place that you want us to be, Lord. So specifically for Rebecca, Lord, deliver her, God, deliver each of us in the body of Christ, deliver all of our families, our children, and our grandchildren, Lord God. God, we just call upon you to do that which man cannot do, which fathers and mothers cannot do, Lord God.